United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! give us, you see.
Oh.
A skunk shake his rump. Get him to come on over here for some,
snake funk in the dump, baby.
Now we got this dead toe that will set you free. All you got to do is, take a closer walk with me. And we got this bang that's full of magic tricks. So come feel, if you will, the magic of the Dookie Stick.
They want to play for you.
Play, Baba.
Magic wand that's guaranteed to make you come to me, baby. Set yourself free.
With the Dookie Stick.
My magic wand can do almost anything. Spit and fire, make it rain. But most of all, it can make you spread your wings and fly away.
Talk to me quick. Let me know.
Let me know, baby.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And this song is dedicated to all the people that did not want to hear Happy this morning.
I'm on that list. I have to tell you, Tracy, I have been betrayed by our good friend Matt Mason.
No.
Yes. He said he likes the Happy song. And I, you know, he publicly proclaimed it on Facebook, and I was devastated.
He likes the Happy song.
He likes the Happy song.
The Happy song works. The Happy song really, really works. I don't think you guys really get it. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it's 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here at on the 27th of March, 2014. It's about 24 degrees here in Boardman, and I hope you're having a good day and a good morning, and we're having our coffee here, and I hope you're going to grab a cup of coffee and join us in our conversation today. If anybody wants to know, there is an APB out on Dr. Howard Meddy. And so if anybody sees him, just send him this way.
I saw Howard on Saturday.
No. Dr. Howard Meddy, there, you know, you got to send out an alarm.
Yeah.
There's an alert for Dr. Howard Meddy. If anybody sees Dr. Howard Meddy, please send him to the WSOM studio because I'm in search of him.
You need to call him up. Say, Howard, get over here.
No, you got to know him. You know, just send out an APB. Somebody will listen to us and call him.
Okay.
And if he's not here by the bottom of the hour, we'll give him
a
call.
Maybe he flew to Russia.
He might be, but, you know. Oh, so, no, Dr. Mason did not betray you. You have to understand. But the Happy song works, Mark. It just does. I mean, this song is great. The other songs are wonderful. But now I can't help everybody that's told my song.
Yeah, I know.
It's everywhere.
You know, but like my grandmother said, after 85 years of Silent Night, you don't want to hear it anymore.
Listen, everybody stole mine. Everybody stole it. I mean, they took it. I had it first.
What's that from? What's the...
Despicable Me?
Despicable Me, yeah. Two. it's a catchy little tune.
Yeah, and they swiped it from me.
Thank you for not being perky.
I have to be perky. I have to be perky is good.
I'm looking outside the window over here, and I see a little bit of sky. I think it's going to go above freezing today.
I think yesterday we had a heat wave.
It was 24. It was cold.
It was cold yesterday. It was cold day before. It's been cold all winter. And I don't know what you guys are doing to make it this cold.
It's the polar vortex.
I thought it was global warming.
It's global cooling. take your meds. It's climate change. Mm. We're opposed to climate change.
Well, climate change.
I don't know. My parents called it weather, but that's... Everybody wants to do something about the weather, and I don't.
Yeah.
So how you been?
I am well.
I haven't seen you for a little while. You know, just
talk to you on the phone.
Yeah, we've talked on the phone, and you stopped by my house last weekend.
Can I tell you guys something? Mark Manji has one of the most incredible women for a wife that I have ever met. You know, there are some. You guys don't really understand. I'm not impressed by a lot.
What?
I mean, seriously. I mean, a lot of people I'm very, very supportive of.
Yeah.
But then there are some people that just I'm impressed with.
She's a smart lady and a talented lady.
No. She's not only smart. She's not only talented. She's impressive. She's gifted. She's. I mean, wow.
She does good stuff.
Good. No, that's not. That's some things are good. That's great. She does amazing thing. She makes wonderful biscotti. She's a great baker, and she cooks very, very well, and the food is really, really good.
I look at me. Obviously, that's why I married her, because she could bake bread.
She's good. Yeah. But then she has other talents. And I went, she is an embroiderer, and she does hand embroidery. And she has done a quilt, and she does birds and hats, and she does stuff with her hands, crafty, creative things. They're artsy. They're not even crafty. They're artsy. They're artsy things, and in her mind. So now I don't even like cats with hats. I don't even like cats. And I've been telling everybody that I now want a cat in a hat.
Yeah.
I got a feeling there's been a Dr. Meddy sighting.
Uh-oh.
Because I got a phone call.
Uh-oh.
That Dr. Meddy's looking. I got a phone call from the other building. So Dr. Meddy is in the house.
Is in the house. It's not this house.
I told you there was a Dr. Meddy sighting. There he is.
Oh, my goodness. There he is.
Good morning.
How did I find this place? Oh, my God.
How are you this morning?
I kind of have to wander in. Howard, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good morning.
Oh, we have some other guests here.
Yes, but they didn't tell me. Oh. Good morning. She's just hanging out. They didn't call me. You're in.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm going to take a break real quick because I got to get Dr. Meddy settled in because it was Russia with love.
Tracy.
Yes. What are you doing, Mark?
I'm trying to give him the earplugs.
What?
It won't move.
Well, why won't you earplugs?
Because I think I got my seat on the cord.
Well, you know, I should actually take a picture of you holding that in your hand. Above your head, and put it on Facebook. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is now 14 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Dr. Howard Meddy and Attorney Mark Manji in studio with me. I wish I had video on right now to see these two guys in my studio trying to get themselves together.
Keystone Cops right here.
And so I will be right back. I'm going to get everybody settled in, get everybody a headset so that we can talk with Russia from Russia with Love. We'll be right back.
For a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can flip back to thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 20 minutes now after the hour of 9 o'clock, and we're still here at WSOM AM 600. Call your friends and family and tell them that I found Dr. Meddy.
We found Howard. This is so exciting.
And I found you. That was the miracle.
And I have to do important things first. This upcoming weekend, last week I wasn't feeling really well, so I didn't show up on Sunday. But this Sunday, I will be at Pancakes Rotary.
Oh,
Saturday and Sunday, we have pancakes from, eight until 2.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Boardman Community Center at Boardman Park. It's right in the back. It's $6 a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to a worthy cause. All the pancakes you can eat.
Children free.
Children, huh?
Children free.
Children free?
Oh, yeah. Up to, I think, the age of 5 or 6 or something.
So I can eat free. I'm somebody's child.
It's a great event, folks. They've done it for years out there, and the pancakes are great, and the sausage is great.
It's absolutely wonderful.
And,
did you go yet, Mark?
Yeah, I was there last
Sunday.
Was
there,
okay.
Right? Yeah, I saw Howard there last Sunday. That's Bourbon Rotary. They do a terrific job out there. Dr. Meddy has been a Rotarian for many, many years. And your illustrious hostess here has been a Rotarian for many, many years.
No. I've only been a Rotary for a couple of years. It's this guy here. I mean, he Dr. Meddy's been in on there almost as long as I've been alive.
I was a member there when he joined.
I was a member back in the, and he had just, when I joined Rotary in 89, Mark had just come back from Ukraine, a tour through Lviv,
yeah,
and many other cities. Well, I don't know how many other, but, you know, some other. And he had very kind words to say about the experience and meeting the people over there. And Rotary is a big international organization, and that's one of the reasons I joined it.
One of the great experiences of my life was going to the Moscow Rotary Club and the St. Petersburg Rotary Club. But the Moscow Rotary Club had just formed, and the hotel we were staying at happened to be right across the street from
the Hotel Russia.
Where they were, and it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this now.
I mean, this was still communist back
then.
This is
a good segue to where we're going. We have Dr. Meddy, and he has a passion for Russia. Do you speak Russian, Dr. Meddy?
Я говорю почти свободно по-русски сейчас. Но я не знаю, что другие люди говорят мне. I don't know what they're telling me, but I know what I can, what I'm saying to them. So I don't know if you can call it speaking Russian.
Well, you speak Russian, you still understand it.
I have a partial understanding.
Okay.
But when it gets serious technical discussion, I get a little uncertain about the details. And so I don't feel 100% confident about that.
So
I use tarusky yizik nemnoga.
Nemnoshka.
What's that?
He speaks a little.
You speak a little.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Как мне? Like I, я говорю немножко тоже.
The most important word, you go there. The most important phrase I learned is "Yani Panimayo." I don't understand.
What does that mean?
I don't understand.
Oh.
Yeah.
But Dr. Meddy has, and I'm going to ask him to tell his story because Dr. Meddy is a professor of chemistry at Youngstown State University, but he has a passion for Russia, like I've never seen before. To not be Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And because of our Rotary Club, the Rotary is international, and we do a lot of things across the globe to eradicate polio for people with water, for people who are underserved, for humanitarianism. It is a humanitarian club, and we do things to help people that may or may not be able to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mark has a fascination with Russia, and he actually studied, I believe, Russia.
I'm a quarter short of a master's degree in Russian history.
So somehow, and neither one of them are Russian, and so somehow they got bit by a Russian bug. And so they are politically on opposite sides of every equation that I can think of, because Dr. Meddy is a bleeding liberal.
It's coming out of his pores.
And then there's Mark, and Mark knows it all. Conservative, all things conservative. And they're both in studio with me. And when I saw Dr. Meddy at Rotary on Tuesday, it just came to a great idea that I would have both of them here today to talk about Putin, Vladimir.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of name is Vladimir?
Oh, it goes back probably at least 1,000 years when Prince Vladimir accepted Christianity in the form of Orthodox religion for the Russian country in Kiev, the very city of Kiev, which is regarded by some as the first capital of Russia. So it plays a big role in Russian history, and many people name their children Vladimir. In fact, Vladimir Putin's father was Vladimir also, so they call him Vladimir Vladimirovich, which means Vladimir, the son of Vladimir.
Junior for the rest of us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody has their own style here.
Mark, your coffee smells wonderful.
I know. It's hazelnut.
Wow.
You didn't get me coffee, by the way.
See, you bring your own here.
You have to bring your own.
Oh, this is going to bring your own.
Bring your own colors. Excuse me.
But I did bring those donuts last week, and they're still here, so help yourself. They're a little old, but they're good.
What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to bring the host coffee.
But don't bring her donuts.
Don't bring her donuts. Let's bring her coffee.
That's why they're still sitting here. I see.
Dr. Meddy, tell me, how in the – I mean, you're a chemist. How in the world did you become so passionate about Russia? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I always thought that the Russian people went through a really difficult experience in the Second World War. And at the same time, they produced some of the greatest science and engineering miracles of the last century, being first into outer space with Sputnik, which panicked our country in terms of math and science education. And we're actually repeating that cycle right now. But I always had great respect for their abilities, and particularly to do it when they're under the thumb of a dictator, in a reign of terror. I can remember in high school in the 50s for me, and when Stalin died, I think it was in 1953, and, you know, I was cheering like everybody else.
That he died?
That he died, yeah, because I thought that, you know, we would see a new day in Russia. And, you know, the world would be a safer place. And I think that's one of the things that most people hope for in the world is some kind of form of security so they can pay attention to, you know, educating their kids and you know, perfecting their societies, and they don't have to be, you know, keep shooting at each other. So I welcome this. And at the same time, during the Cold War, when I was a scientist, as I got educated into chemistry, I saw so many things happening, and Russian was a leading science producer at the time, of course, and we couldn't read their literature. It was very difficult. When I first studied Russian as a PhD language, I dropped it after 2 weeks. I figured the alphabet was impossible. But I still had a lot of respect for what they were doing. And then in the 80s, when we went at it with Star Wars, the Russians could not match the chemical lasers that were used to, or it purported to be used for taking out satellites. So that's one of the reasons that we outspent them on the Cold War and so on. So I felt, well, as the Cold War wound down in the late 80s and early 90s, this was a good time to try and bring Russia back into the community of nations, just as we did with Germany and Japan at the end of World War II. And we went out of our way to assist these countries, and I thought now was a great time to maybe help Russia get back on its feet at the end of the Cold War, because the communist system just really degenerated. The economy was so poor, and the politics weren't much better. So, and Rotary had a key role to play in this, because Rotary encourages, you know, the four-way test and certain business ethics and the practice of business. It's sort of a set of four ideals. This is a value everywhere in the world, and Rotary is in probably out of about roughly 200 countries in the world. Rotary is probably in 190 of them.
Correct.
Or something like that. And so I felt, well, and Rotary was never in Russia. And these people all of a sudden at the end of communism had no experience with capitalism or democracy. And when I first went over there, after Mark came back from his trip to Ukraine, they didn't know what credit financing was. They didn't know what insurance was. They didn't know what a mortgage was, buying on time, credit cards. They didn't even know what a check was. I sent a check over for $75 to help the Institute of Brain Research in St. Petersburg. And before I got there, that was that summer of Mark, I don't know if you remember the humanitarian airlift we had. And when I got there that summer of 92, they handed the check back and they said, "What's this for?" You know? So I figured we had a little work to do, and welcomed the opportunity to have part of my life to commit to it.
It was an interesting time over there. Me and my partner here in town, We ran a newspaper over there. We ran a bilingual newspaper for about a year in St. Petersburg. And we also did some import-export from there, which was interesting. But back at the time that Howard got involved and I was involved, it was the Wild West, and the rules were non-existent. It was, you know, they had banks, but they really weren't banks. They were something else. And just transferring money back and forth was a Herculean effort. It did not go well, because they needed the hard currency. Their currency at the time really wasn't worth anything, and so they would freeze hard currency assets over there, and it caused a lot of problems. It caused problems for some people here, some people in Niles, actually, that invested some money over there. So it was just a really scary, scary time. And
but how did you get – I mean, I asked Dr. Mehdi how his fascination with Russia. How did you get –
I'm a history buff, and I was a World War II buff. That period of time in world history, in the 19 from World War One, between World War One and World War Two, is just fascinating. Very rarely do you see those kinds of momentous events that are, you know, so massive in their effect. And you know, you got to realize during, you know, millions upon millions upon millions of people died during that period of time. And with the Nazis in Germany and the communists in Russia, it's just a very, very fascinating period of history. And so it just kind of goes in as you're following this through the years, when you're seeing the collapse of the Soviet Union, you know, to be there and watch it. And no, I was there before the communists fell, and I was there several times after the communists fell. And it's just just amazing. We got to see the Soviet flag come down and the Ukrainian flag go up on Parliament when we were there, and it was a very moving experience to watch that happen. And Howard will tell you, the Russians are wonderful, wonderful people. They're very warm. They're very giving. They're great folks. And you may have various issues with their government from time to time, but they're just great, great, great people. And we, Howard has some friends. I still have some friends that I was involved with over there that I talk with from time to time. They came here, and it's great. You know, it was a really interesting experience.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. I have Dr. Howard Mehdi and attorney Mark Mangi in studio with me. We're going to be talking about the Ukraine and Russia, foreign policy. What's going on there? Why is America concerned? Why is Europe concerned? You know, why should we be a partner and or not be a partner if they agree or disagree with how America is taking a stand here? I think one's on one side and one's on the other. It should be a very, very interesting conversation. We'll be right back.
Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown Christian School is expanding its educational services. This fall, the school plans to open the Lewis School for Gifted Learning Potential. The new school will educate 40 gifted students in grades 3 through 6. But in the future, Youngstown Christian wants to expand the service even more and offer it to 7th and 8th graders. We're now learning Austintown Superintendent Vince Kalaluka's harassment allegations are valid, at least according to an independent investigator. A private company was hired to look into whether Kalaluka was bullied by school member Harold Porter. The report recommended that Porter should develop working relations with fellow board members. The school board decided it wasn't going to take any further action in the matter. The cost of the investigation, more than $16,000. And construction has been coming along to the Hollywood Gaming at the Mahoning Valley Racecourse. A member of the Racing Commission says work is now starting on the outside of the facility. There will be up to 988 stalls and a barn with more than 1,000 stalls for the horses. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love Steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just $149.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices BES SRP at participating dealers.
Visit Hilltop Lawn and Garden, 3 miles west of Columbiana on State Route 14. 330-427-1220. Online at hilltoplawnandgarden.net.
Here it is, everybody's favorite time of year, income tax time. Right now, Legacy Financial Strategies will do your income taxes for just $79. Here's David Gollner.
Legacy Financial Strategies offers complete income tax preparation for only $79 for ages 50 and over. We also review last 3 year tax returns, includes short and long form, schedules A, B, D, E, and free e-filing. We have every state tax form. Call toll-free at 800-264-4963. Our address is 3087 Innovation Way in Linden Point. That's Harmonies, Pennsylvania.
That number again is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Don't sweat this tax season. Let Legacy Financial Strategies do your taxes for just $79. Some restrictions apply.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions from entry-level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Need training for current job conditions? Need trade certifications for better pay? The Adult Career Centers in Columbiana, Mahoning, and Trumbull Counties are your best value in higher education for today's job market. Call your Columbiana, Mahoning, or Trumbull County Adult Career Center today.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I have Mark Mangi and Dr. Howard Meddy in studio with me. And Dr. Meddy is a chemist, but we're talking about Russia today and foreign policy, and this is ought to be really, really good. And so they and listen, this is what happens. I do this. I introduce them. I let them talk for the first segment. And then I take a break. And during the break, they're talking about the things that we should be talking about on air. So you guys have to recreate that same conversation again.
We will.
Okay, do it now.
I forgot. Where were we?
You know what, Howard, what I'd like to see you do a little bit is if you could tell the listening audience about Ukrainian history and this Ukraine's relation with Russia and how they're kind of joined in history over the years and the different occupations of Ukraine over the years.
Thanks for asking. I'm really not a historian like yourself and I'm, as a chemist, but I have been there, and I just – this winter visited Ukraine for the first time, although I knew about it before. I went to Odessa and Poltava, where the final battle with Charles the X from Sweden was fought by Peter the great Tsar Peter that they, Peter the First, who they named St. Petersburg after over 300 years ago. And that battle was fought on Ukrainian territory. But even earlier than that, when Prince Vladimir accepted Christianity, the Orthodox religion, into Russia and tried to actually do his part in westernizing Russia, which Peter the Great himself also did, that was 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
When there were tribes roaming around, Slavic tribes, I think, and then from Hungary, and, you know, there were different groups of tribes that fought back and forth. A Polish people had a lot of – they weren't probably even known by that name at that time. But so there's a very intimate history there. And then later on, about 300 years ago, when Catherine the Great was the first czar in the Romanov dynasty, even though she was German, she married into the Russian Romanov family – and became later czar herself, and she visited Crimea. She was the only czar to actually visit the Black Sea area in that time. And then, of course, during World War II, to come to the modern day, both Ukraine and Russia were invaded by the Germans. And they fought along with the Belarusians and others. And in fact, so they were on the same side of World War II as we were, and so their history became, or our histories became linked in World War II, when you were talking about the last century being such a pivotal century in our history. And, of course, it is, and nobody's going to change that for a while.
The Crimea, the audience, if you get a map and take a look at the Black Sea area over there, Russia, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, really has some difficulties with warm water ports.
Mm-hmm.
So Odessa is important.
Mm-hmm.
And Crimea
mm-hmm.
is important,
mm-hmm.
and they have a major naval base in Crimea.
They do. Yeah, I would compare Sevastopol, which is the city where the Black Sea Fleet has its headquarters, to maybe something like Annapolis, you know, in our history. And Odessa, I would compare to a shipping port like Oakland, California. When I was there, I saw these huge, you know, shipping containers being craned off of boats and onto boats. It wasn't as big as Oakland or L.A. or something like that, but it was a substantial port. So historically, this is one thing that has connected Russia. In fact, all the early trading back centuries before that came along the rivers, the Dnieper, the Volga, and all these rivers that interconnected through Europe became avenues of commerce. And so that's what actually interconnected these tribes, and they were like Novgorod and some of the Russian cities were all connected by rivers to Europe and so on. And so that made things a little easier for people to really communicate and engage in commerce.
Yeah, early Russia was actually called Kievan Rus.
Mm-hmm.
So the history with Russia and Ukraine is linked in ways that we can't comprehend here. Now, I'm going to tell, you know, Howard knows, he and I disagree on what's going on right now almost 100% on the import and how it should be handled. But I think it's important that Americans, here's a portion of the world that is a pivotal portion of the world, and Americans don't really understand what the history is over there and why things are the way they are and why people feel the way they do. When I was studying history, Howard, you know that, my professor was Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
And
George.
And, you know, we got some interesting perspectives on how Ukraine feels about Russia. In fact, I made the mistake in one of my essays talking about Mother Russia, and he let me know in no uncertain terms that there's no such thing as Mother Russia. And why would you say that after they did those horrible things to us?
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. They did some horrible things to Ukraine. But as a nation, Ukraine has not ever really been independent in the sense that we understand.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Independent. It's been occupied by Lithuanians. It's been occupied by Poland. I think it's been occupied by some Swedes. How many languages do they speak in Ukraine? How many languages are there?
Oh, I'm going to say six.
How many main ones?
Well, Russian and Ukrainian.
Russian and Ukrainian.
And thanks, Tracy. Yes, and Ukraine was always a region of Russia, much like we had, like the southwestern United States.
Hence the adjective in front of it, the Ukraine.
Exactly. And when it became a country, I went to the Ukrainian church out in Austintown,
mm-hmm.
St. Anne's, and it was right after the election of Kravchuk, the first president. The very he's the George Washington of Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I learned for the very first time that 10 million Ukrainians lost their lives during the collectivization period and maybe due to starvation as well as being militarily, you know, sort of shot by the forces of communism that swept in and tried to collectivize the private farms that were there in Ukraine. So that's why I figured, boy, there's no love lost between Ukrainians and Russians. And yet Ukrainians, the Ukrainian people, that is the second most, or maybe the first most spoken language, the second one, or the reverse, being Russian. Those are the main languages in the Ukrainian region of Russia, which was part of Russian history since the earliest days. But it was never a country. And that's what President Putin told, actually, George Bush. He said, you know, George, Ukraine really isn't a country. And this was, of course, only 10 years after it had been a country. And we just caught up with, oh, this is really a country now. And actually, Russia signed an agreement to not allow this, but it ratified the existence of the independence of Ukraine. In 1992, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, I brought up language for a reason, because if you look at the history of Europe and, well, the world generally, language is very, very important. Now, we have a taste of it here in the United States, dealing with English as a national language and Hispanic coming in. But you get to the European countries, the importance of language is paramount, because these countries are so close together and they view their national identity with their language. So the Russians came in and attempted to eradicate Ukrainian as a language. The English did the same thing with the Irish and the Scots. When England expanded, they pushed the language out. The language was forbidden to be spoken. They had to learn, everything had to be done in English. Their alphabet was outlawed. And now we're seeing a resurgence of these various regions and their identity with language, and Ukraine's no exception. Now, if you listen to Putin, he's talking about protecting the Russian-speaking population. And they're concentrated in certain areas over there, and I suppose Ukrainian concentration. So it's kind of interesting, and it's absolutely, you can relate to things that are happening in the United States by looking at what's going over there, because that's why the language issue is so important here. You know,
English is so important, being a first language.
As being a first language.
But do we have to have English to be the only language?
I mean, well, that's the issue.
I mean, we want English to be the only language, but everything I know now is in English, Spanish, and then some, it depends on where you live, other things.
But the breakup of nations right now along language lines is still an ongoing issue, and it's resurging in Canada right now, with Quebec, you know, wanting to break off again. Quebec independence is popping up over there.
This is the third time in my lifetime that it has happened in Quebec and Canada. This federation, Canada is called a federation or confederation.
Right. Yeah.
It's not, you know, so, and the reason is because they've guaranteed the bilingual character of the country, where Quebec is the language of, French is the language of Quebec, and English-speaking is the major language of all the other nine provinces. And I can remember I went to school in Vermont. We used to go up to Montreal, and there was a big fear on the part of the Quebecois that their language was being encroached upon by the English, because it was the only commercial language in the Montreal banks was English, and they wanted to use French in the language of commerce in Montreal. I figured, well, what's wrong with that? They don't really have anything to fear. But yet they fear, they equate language and culture with identity. And so there's always going to be this kind of conflict. And we have the same thing happening in our own country with the immigrants from Mexico in Southern California and all the border states along the southwestern border. We have this bilingual problem. There are people that want to see them learn, all the Spanish people from these other Spanish-speaking people from Mexico, to learn English and forget where they came from, and English is the official language, and force that down their throats. And they say, no, why can't we speak a second language here and be entitled to it and have our ballots in Spanish and everything sort of bilingual. And so this is always a line of conflict.
But if language is so important, and English is the language of America, shouldn't that English be primary? And so if you come here, you can speak what you choose, but you should know English enough to live?
I think yes. I would agree with that. But when you put yourself in the other person's shoes and they feel like they're being forced or their language is being taken away from them, they feel threatened. This actually happened when the American Indians went on the reservations and they were forbidden to speak their native tongues and they were forced to learn English.
The same as Africans in slavery. Because we weren't allowed to speak in our native tongue.
There you go. Same thing. So it's not language is just the tip of the iceberg, because you're erasing the cultural identity of a people when you attack their language, so you can understand how they might feel a little threatened.
So the difference over here, if you're looking at the United States versus Russia and Ukraine over here, you can say the Mexicans have come in here, the Hispanics have come here, they've brought their language with them, and you can go back and look at the history of Texas and California and all that. But for the most part, they were settled by English-speaking folks. And language is important to keep American culture going. They've come to this country as immigrants, just like my grandparents came here as immigrants. They taught themselves English. The language is important in cultural identity and developing culture. But Ukraine and Russia is a little bit different, because the Russian language has been there for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It's just a very strange region, which kind of, you know, gets to what we were talking about off the air, Howard, when you got here. I kind of have the feeling, and I disagree with it 100%, that our president gave a wink, wink, nod, nod to Putin to go in and do this, because mm-hmm. the response has been tepid, and I'm mm-hmm. sure he has advisors that read Putin's speech and said, yeah, he's right.
What did he say? Well, before you answered it, is that what he meant when he says, I have more flexibility after the next term?
That's exactly what was going through my mind when he says, I've got more flexibility after I'm reelected.
Okay, Dr. Howard.
To allow this to happen.
Term. Well, there are people, Mark, that think that President Putin is the leading edge, the tip of the spear of a resurgence of Russia to the point where they would like to recapture and recreate the SSSR, the Soviet Socialist Republic of USSR.
Got it, a question.
Hold on, Eric. Let me finish. Go ahead.
Well, so I think that what they're looking for in this latest adventure into Ukraine.
Here at Pet Spa.
Great.
Oh, okay.
Every now and then, something pops up.
Yeah.
Oh. So I was just thinking that what they are interested in doing is securing the warm water port that you referred to a minute ago in our conversation. And I also think that they resent the expansion of NATO and our encroachment into their backyard, much as we would resent the fact that Russia might be trying to influence events in Mexico and, you know, take over Mexico, because it's clear to me that we've been trying to expand NATO since 1992. And after we had given assurances to the Russians that we would not do this, and NATO was a 15-member military power with mostly European powers, but of course the major leader being US of A. And now, after saying this, through the voice of our president, George Herbert Walker Bush, NATO is now 26 or 27 countries, something like that. I mean, it really, really expanded, and we are after Ukraine and after Georgia. And these countries are very close to Russian history, and so I think that they feel threatened. And I think that's the fundamental, you know, Russian people's response to this, not just their government. So they feel, and they've obviously confirmed what Putin's fault. They've taken polls in Russia, and they're very supportive of what he's done. And I think it's maybe surprising, but the Russians and Ukrainians are very close together. The Ukrainian language is probably 75% Russian. I mean, it sounds almost like the same language, except you get over there and it sounds the same. But it's
a little off.
That's exactly what I felt. You know, I heard it on the planes and things like that. I said, are they really speaking Russian, these people?
Hey,
but
Eric,
they're so close.
Eric, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay,
people are on the phone, waiting to talk to you.
Oh, hi.
Hey, doctor, I watched a news segment yesterday, and they were talking about how Putin, he's basically encouraging young males to get out and exercise, work out really, really hard. Huh. Is he basically trying to form like an army, encourage kids at a young age to, you know, have a military mindset?
I think you might interpret it that way, to tell you the truth, but, you know, they don't have trouble. Well, I guess maybe they do. They have trouble getting people to enroll in the army, but they do have a draft system in Russia, and it's somewhat controversial, like it was in our country when we had it. But they have a pretty decent army right now, and their armed forces are fairly modernized. So I'm not sure whether they're really pushing to expand the numbers of their troops. The Russians have to face the same problem we do, and that is that the kids are sitting around watching TV or playing computer games, and they're not getting out and playing soccer like they used to, if they have access to computers. And not all of them do, as we do practically in our country, where it's actually a worse problem. So I do think that there is some physicality just to it, and nothing, not a military threat in what he's saying.
440, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to address your guest. I'm gonna try to keep my composure here. Okay, so bear with me. My mother is Ukraine, and 1933 and 1937, you know what the history was there. And she had witnessed her parents being drug out of her house, my grandparents, killed, roasted, and eaten. She was 7 and a half. Somehow she managed to survive that whole ordeal. And during World War II, she got caught up by the Nazis, and they put her on a train to Poland to work. I'm sure you know what the camps were like there. Got intercepted. But anyway, you had mentioned that when Stalin died, my mother was not very emotional person. And when Stalin died, the emotion that came out of her was just frightening, just absolutely frightening. I mean, I had never seen anything, not since then either. I couldn't believe it. And I think a lot of people don't understand that Putin wants all of Ukraine. He's just not going to stop. Those people are frightened. They remember that vividly. I mean, you had children that were ripped out of orphanages, taken out of houses. They're killed, eaten. I mean, there's cannibalism going crazy. And, you know, those people don't forget that. Now, of course, up near the border, which is more Russian than Ukraine, it's not quite as prevalent, but further inside the country, I know people further inside the country, they're frightened. They're frightened. Mm-hmm. They have not forgotten that.
I don't take issue with the fact that there are people that are very concerned about what's happening, that the Ukrainian natives, that not all of them would welcome a Russian intervention because of these memories that you so vividly are portraying here. And but I also think that there are others in the country that are at peace with the Russians, other Ukrainians that are at peace with the Russians.
Yeah. After all, having, that generation dying
yeah,
off,
it is.
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Can, I can understand
I was so
that.
Amazed. Well, when I visited there and tried to talk about these things, it was like, this is past history. We have our future to look at, and if we let this bad blood poison our futures, then that maybe is something that we can get past, like your mother was able to do. And
but,
so,
but, Let me ask you this.
Hey, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be back on the other side of the break talking with Dr. Mark Manzi. And we're talking to Dr. Howard Meddy and attorney Mark Manzi in reference to Russia. We're going to try to stay on subject here and not go too far off because I'm trying to go somewhere, and there are some things inside of what we're talking about that you need to know because Americans are very, very ignorant when it comes to what we're talking about, when it comes to Russia, the Ukraine, and why we're involved and how it affects us. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk
is now 25. President Obama met with Pope Francis today at the Vatican. It was their first formal meeting. The president says he's a great admirer of the Pope. A ruling that could college sports, the National Labor Relations Board, says football players at Northwestern University have the right to form a union. The board found the university acts like an employer.
Control over their time, control over their scheduling, control over what they can do with their private lives, what they can post on Twitter.
That's Professor Henry Parrott at Chicago Kent College of Law. He says that the board found that there was control over the players' time. This is ABC News.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
The Federal Reserve has delivered a surprising blow to Citigroup, saying the giant bank cannot reward investors with stock buybacks and dividends, Citi failing a stress test for the second time in 3 years. If you're looking for work, consider a temporary job. New study says there are more opportunities for part-time and temp workers.
Temporary employment has accelerated since the last recession. Companies were hit really hard. They took heavy losses, and so they want more flexibility in their workforce.
Employment expert Jennifer Grass at CareerBuilder.
One of the top areas that we saw for growth in temporary employment is human resources.
Many companies cut HR departments back when the recession was at its worst. Construction jobs are now on the rise with the housing recovery.
We're also seeing temporary employment growing for a variety of technology-related roles.
That's because there's a lot more demand now for many IT roles. Richard Davies, ABC News.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Where is he?
Sorry, honey. I was downloading my new free app from RDO.
Your radio?
RDIO.com. It's the best digital music site out there, and it blows away Spotify and Pandora.
Another reason for you to be late for things.
Look, it's got 20 million songs to get music where and when you want it, and it's so easy to use. This is the best new app ever. I get new songs the day they come out, and besides creating playlists, I'm discovering the coolest music.
Now with RDO, you will never be on time for anything.
Download the RDIO free app today to start your musical journey.
Concerned about your health?
Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Hurry in to Subway for the featured $5 footlong of March, the classic meatball marinara. Get this fan favorite with peppers, onions, and melty mozzarella along with signature marinara sauce. It's all yours for just $5 all March long. Subway, eat fresh.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC. The Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Don't miss the 2014 Women's Rally in the Valley, April 26th at Victory Christian Center in Coitsville. Find out more about this life-changing event. Visit womenofhisvision.com. Entrance fans are just $15 in advance and $20 at the door. Get yours at Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout in Youngstown, Specialty Fab in North Lima, Trolio Screen Printing in Boardman, Ryan's Chair Hair Care and Treatment in Youngstown, Victory Christian Center in Coitsville, and Victory Christian Center in Youngstown.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Thank you.
tell me what went wrong in our lives to cause such unhappiness. No, I will never understand how life can make such demands on a love.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You guys have to realize how happy and how rewarding it is to have Dr. Mehdi with me. I don't think he knows how much I admire him, not just by being a fellow Rotarian, but just by who he is.
Well, Tracy, thank you.
What you see is what you get, and he is so very, very passionate. He's so very, very knowledgeable. He's so very, very passionate.
This is unrehearsed, by the way, for whoever's listening.
But you know what? I think I have to
just make sure the check's in the mail tomorrow, Howard. That's, she never says that about me. I'll tell you what. I got to.
Well, you're here all the time, I understand. You know, you run the show with her on Thursdays. So that's good.
But it is so very, very rewarding to have you here with me, and I respect you so much.
Thank you.
As a professor, as a person, as a Rotarian. And just overall, you're just Howard.
And we disagree so much, Tracy. It is a rather amazing thing.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But I have plans for you. Oh, that's it.
Now, Howard, just hold your liberal heart. This is,
yeah, because he's a bleeding liberal.
This is the Republican quilt.
You need to send me a copy of that, because we were talking about that yesterday.
Where did you get this?
His wife
my
did
wife
it. Ginger make
yeah.
that?
Oh,
yes.
My
God. Look at that. Okay,
well, you got Lincoln up there. I can go along.
Can you handle Lincoln?
But the rest of these guys, you know, I don't know where they came from.
And the number 347-945-5229 if you want to jump in and join the conversation. Diva, your mic is on, and Eric, so is yours. America, Putin, Russia, do we care? Why do we care?
That's a very good question. I think that runs right to the heart of it. Why do we make other people's business our business? I don't really know the answer to it. Why do we want to have Ukraine and Georgia in NATO? Why did we want to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand.
I wish I did.
Explain NATO first, so that those of us that don't know what it is, and explain why we want them there and why are we the recruiter for it?
Well, it's a military alliance,
okay,
and it was set up historically to contain communism at the end of World War II, because the next big fear after defeating Hitler was that the Russians would come in and fill the vacuum and in Europe and take over a very weakened Germany and France and so on. So NATO formed to defend the rubble of Europe, and it's a historical organization that is now looking for a job. So that's why you find NATO troops in Afghanistan and other places around the world. So it becomes kind of a military force for use in according to how the NATO countries decide they want to use this force. I think it played a role in the Balkan crisis, but NATO largely follows America's lead, and if the European partners don't play ball, then they have a problem. So if we decide that Ukraine or Georgia or Moldova, these countries that should be part of NATO, and we go and recruit them, we actually are supporting the forces in Ukraine that overthrew Yanukovych, the elected president, criminal that he was. But he's not the first criminal that was ever a head of state that we went after or ignored. We seem to be somewhat accepting of dictators like Pinochet, who can kill a lot of their own people and drop them out of helicopters in the Latin American countries. But we don't like it when other dictators like Gaddafi takes over in Libya, and he, by the way, turned over his nuclear weapons to...
Correct, and then we killed him.
And that's right. And the Russians took a little umbrage at that because we organized our NATO forces in sort of a, what do they call it, a no-fly zone. the purpose was a no-fly zone. And then we ended up bombing him out of existence. So the Russians looked at that as somewhat hypocritical. And they see that in when we go into other countries and try and support the regime changes that we would like to see for some, I don't know who decides these questions, you know, the higher up, higher pay grade than up than mine. But that's what I think they object to. So it's not that they want to expand the Soviet Union. They just want to protect countries that are on their perimeter, just as we would want to protect countries like Mexico and Canada on our perimeter.
Mark, do you agree?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
What do you think? What where are you in this?
NATO was, Howard was right, NATO was formed to combat communism. But where we view our foreign policy is rooted in what happened at the beginning of World War II. The United States has historically been an isolationist nation. We've had presidents that have warned us against getting involved in, you know, foreign entanglements. Our culture and our ideology are as such that we have certain values that other countries don't have. If you turn your back on the rest of the world is filled with bad people. Certain countries are historically expansionist, and certain countries are not. Russia has been historically expansionist. China has not. China has not really been an expansionist country. And now we're facing new threats with that affect our well-being that are not necessarily Russia, but certainly as Islamic fundamentalism expands and the attempt to re-put together the caliphate, you look at these things and say we do need a joint defense system of alliances in order to protect ourselves. NATO is the ultimate red line in the sand. And if one NATO country is attacked, we are all attacked. Russia's paranoid. Nobody's going to invade Russia. We're not an expansionist nation. And, you know, Howard Sakin has said, no, we won't invade Russia.
We won't invade Russia, but what do you think? Let me ask this. What do you think that Putin is trying to do? What is Vladimir trying to do? I love his first name, Vladimir.
Vladimir.
What is he trying to do? What do you think is on his mind? I mean, is he really trying to create? Because a lot of people say he's trying to create the Soviet Union again.
Recreate it. Yeah. Well, I think they are paranoid. I think that it would exceed Russia's capability in its present state to attempt such a foolish adventure. They have enough trouble keeping their own country going and trying to keep it going and trying to equalize the wealth in Russia so that all the people can share some of the recently realized prosperity. 90% of the wealth of Russia, 90% of the money is in Moscow, a city of approximately 11 million people. The population of Russia is about 135 million, maybe less because it's dwindling. so about 10% of the population enjoys 90% of the wealth, and the other 10% of the wealth goes to cities like St. Petersburg, Novosibirsk, Vladivostok, all around the country. So there's a lot of Russia that is still living like it was 100 years ago. And we don't appreciate that in our country. This we talk about a divergence of wealth and the inequality gap. Well, there's a big, pretty big one in Russia. So they have their own problems domestically. And so I don't think all they want, and I think they tried this with the Sochi Olympics, is a little respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
But it's kind of hard for you to get respect when you don't respect. And you know, you got to understand, you know, Putin's demeanor. I mean, he wants a little respect for Russia, and I think they tried that with the Sochi Games and the World Cup. Yet now everybody hates that they've done it. I mean, so we come and we try, and then you come and you spit in our eye, and then you say, well, all I want is a little respect. Well, I tried that, and you don't know how to embrace respect because you don't trust us.
Maybe it's a failure of communication, Tracy, because I noticed
during
Have you
seen his face?
I met him. I met Putin twice.
Have you seen his face when he looks at our American president? He is so disengaged.
He looks like he's bored, actually, which I'm not sure. Maybe he really is. But he doesn't understand English either very well. And so I think that he's, waiting for a translation to maybe see how to respond to what's being said. We can see it live when Obama's making his wonderful speeches, but I don't think it's understood instantaneously by Putin. So maybe that has something to do with it.
But he has his own agenda. I mean, Putin has his own agenda. He goes to Parliament, he tells them what he wants to do, and they give him the go-ahead. Am I correct?
I think that's
largely
correct.
Oh, they go one unit? Do you think he's just a dictator and he just does what he wants to do
him? No, I think he talks it over with Dmitry Medvedev, who's now the prime minister, who was president when Putin was prime minister.
They just switch them back and forth. They do the Hagen switch.
Exactly.
Like, kind of like us with Bush and Clinton and, back and forth.
Okay.
We go back and forth.
Because the Clintons have been in the administration for a very long time.
Well, but you ask, what is Putin's really his mission or his motivation?
Yeah.
And I look at it like he is motivated for the Russian people. I think he's a spokesperson for the Russian people. And secondly, his oligarchical circle of friends that control the economic reins of Russia that were former, KGB people that came in with Putin back in 1992, 1991, when Putin came in 2000 and Yeltsin was there for about 10 years. And so when Yeltsin was there, it was the age of cowboy capitalism that Mark referred to. And then when Putin came in, he had really no real contacts politically, but he did have contacts in the KGB, and when they privatized the state resources from, the communist centralized Kremlin-controlled system to his friends, they got bargain prices, and, so he still has this circle of friends, and I think they talk together as a group, and then he comes out and says what he's going to say, and, he reflects a lot of the thinking of those, I would say, economic leaders and political leaders in the country.
Which, Howard, was the way the Communist Party operated. I mean, the labels are different, but the function's still the same. But the difference is these people can openly enrich themselves now at the rest of the country. Russia is dangerous in the sense that, as Howard correctly stated, there's a lot of poor people in Russia. Moscow is probably the most expensive city in the world. In fact, I think it was listed as the most expensive city in the world because there's so much money over there. Their tax system's screwy. There's a history of
Are they still communist? Are they socialist? What kind of
they are more capitalist than we ever were. I mean,
they're capitalist there, but people can't engage into the capitalist system.
Yeah, you can start a small business in Russia today and succeed. We've had many small business people from Russia come here, even to Youngstown, but to our country. It's hosted by Rotarians.
Right.
And they learned some of the elements of the business practice, but they're still stuck with some of the residue of the old communist system, and they still have corruption, and they still have maybe the need to bribe and so on in order to get going. But they can do it.
But let me ask this. So when we look at the inequality of resources in Russia when it comes to finances, because you said there's a lot of poor people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you look at the redistribution of wealth, trying to get it out of one system, out of Moscow,
mm-hmm.
and out of these people here, and get it out to the other people who are in lack.
Mm-hmm.
Why have the people who are in lack not stood up on their own 2 feet and gone after what they can, since they have the opportunity now?
Historically, they have never done it.
It's lack of knowledge.
It's a different culture than ours.
They've been conditioned to do
it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's...
It's not like us who stand up and say, I don't care what you say, I'm not doing that.
We have a tradition of democracy and standing up against authority. That's the way our country formed. And, kick the British out and we're going to take over the masters of our own destiny. Well, that is not the way the typical Russian thinks. Pussy Riot did try it. They stood up and they were in your face in the National Cathedral. They stood up on the altar, had their little dance, which was a political statement against Putin. The words were, "We want Putin, you know, out of here." And of course, Pussy Riot, when they were released from jail by Putin, the two of the four that were actually imprisoned, where do they show up? They show up at a Madonna concert in this country. And so, you know, we're doing our best to encourage the flames of democracy there, but it's growing in soil which is not historically conducive to that yet. It's a slow process to learn these new cultural ideas. It doesn't happen overnight.
So they have been conditioned to be complacent.
Would
you say that?
I would say largely that's true. There are some hotheads over there, too.
And before I go take my break, so would you say it is the same now in America where we have conditioned a populace of people to be complacent in an entitlement mentality?
No, I would say we are conditioned to be more vocal opposition.
No, because remember, we're talking about inequity of money, inequity of resources, inequity of the American dream. And we have a huge population right now.
How about
who
this?
Let's go back to 47%.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, how about you can't fight City Hall?
But you can.
That's you talking.
But you can fight City Hall. But
a lot
if
of people have this defeatist attitude.
Right. So if you are conditioned to believe that you can't fight City Hall, then you go in defeated before you even try.
Well, that's true.
So would you say it would be the same way?
I think it's probably human nature that there are people that they say, okay, it's not worth the struggle. I'm happy. I have a 25-year-old car. It breaks down, but I can still somehow get to work, and I'll never be rich. And I'm going to try and be happy with my family. And you have others that will say, this is not good. I want to stand up. I want to change something. I want to, you know, make a difference with my life and become politically active. So there's a gradation of attitudes among the population. There isn't a single attitude that can characterize everybody.
I'll say one thing about the Russians. They're very adept at working under the system. When you would go there, and this came from the Soviet Union, but into the communist country over there, they had the official economy, which was really, really bad.
Right.
Then they had this very vibrant underground economy,
like
which
ours.
Was pretty much made up the bulk of the economic activity there. So what they learned to do, it was form over substance. They had to fill out the form. They filled out the form. The person took the form, and they put the form in the filing cabinet, and that was the end of the thing. And they did what they wanted to do under the radar.
And that's what we did.
And there was a huge economy. I mean, the basis of their economy then was all the stuff that was going on. They dealt in two currencies.
Call it a black market.
Yeah, they call it there's two words for money in Russia. You know, you wanted valutna, you wanted the hard currency, and that was the dollar. I mean, they dealt it was, and it just was under the radar. And I'm going to guess they're still operating under the radar there.
I'm going to take a break and then I'm going to come right back with Dr. Mehdi and Attorney Manji, and I'm going to eat lunch because I smell it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 29 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Hello.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown Christian School is expanding its educational services. This fall, the school plans to open the Lewis School for Gifted Learning Potential. The new school will educate 40 gifted students in grades 3 through 6. But in the future, Youngstown Christian wants to expand the service even more and offer it to 7th and 8th graders. We're now learning Austintown Superintendent Vince Kalaluka's harassment allegations are valid, at least according to an independent investigator. A private company was hired to look into whether Kalaluka was bullied by school member Harold Porter. The report recommended that Porter should develop working relations with fellow board members. The school board decided it wasn't going to take any further action in the matter. The cost of the investigation, more than $16,000. And construction has been coming along to the Hollywood Gaming at the Mahoning Valley Racecourse. A member of the Racing Commission says work is now starting on the outside of the facility. There will be up to 988 stalls and a barn with more than 1,000 stalls for the horses. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
The start of the season is right around the corner. So is your local Kubota dealer, where you can get a great deal on a new Kubota B-Series tractor during Kubota's Get Something Started sales event. If you're thinking about a rugged, compact tractor with a smooth-running diesel engine, then a new Kubota B-Series tractor has your name on it. With a powerful Category 1 3-point hitch and quick-change time-saving features, your Kubota dealer is the place to start. Right now, get zero down and 0% financing for up to 60 months. So if you're worried about green, think orange at the Kubota Get Something Started sales event.
Visit NortheastOhioKubotaDealers.com to find your local Kubota dealer.
Zero down, 0% APR financing for terms up to 60 months on selected equipment now through March 31st, 2014. Not available for rental national accounts or government customers. 0% APR, low rate financing not available with instant rebate offers. Financing available through Kubota Credit Corporation USA subject to credit approval. Other exceptions may apply. For more information, call toll-free 1-888-465-8268.
You know those sanitary hand wipes? You see them everywhere. Sure, they get your hands clean, but they may also be to blame for a dramatic rise in skin allergies. Dermatologists say many people are sensitive to the cleaning agent that's used in the wipes, and they may suffer a rash, pretty much like poison ivy. The remedy's simple, though. Don't use them. Just about everybody wants to lose weight. There's no shortage of advice, much of it conflicting. But a new buyer's guide on consumer affairs will help you identify the weight loss program that's right for you, depending on your situation, your taste, and your budget. There's no one-size-fits-all, so our new guide will break it down individually. Google's trying to get some help for its Google Glass product, the geeky-looking computer that you wear on your face. Let's face it, it looks kind of nerdy. So Google's recruited Luxottica, the Italian company that makes Ray-Ban and other cool eyewear. It's hoping that a little Italian styling will stiff up Glass and make it a little classier. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I want to thank Sandy and Josh from Flambeau's Restaurant Caribbean Takeout. It's located at 3920 Hillman Way, and Dr. Mehdi and Martin are eating my lunch. I bring you guys in, and look what you guys have done. Like, look at,
I got to tell you, this stuff is very, very good.
You want some more?
I'm going to be stopping there the next day or two to get some takeout home.
That is good.
No, you can have some more, Doc.
Well, I had plenty.
You sure?
Very good, yeah.
But isn't that good?
This is way early for me. This is like brunch, you know, and I already had breakfast.
So this, I'm having curry goat and plantains. That's my meal. That's my favorite meal. So stop in, and if you want to call them, do that. The number is 330-782-9600. Oh, no, okay. That's it. What did I say? 89?
You said 96.
Oh, okay. 330. Let's try this again. Their number for takeout is 330-782-9600. 69. Oh.
But you get it right, Tracy. Jeez, oh man, these people are nice enough to bring the curried goat, and you're getting the number wrong.
Okay, let's try it one more time. 330-782-6900. Did I get it right now? I can read numbers, but you know my number here is 9600. That's the problem, you
You're
know.
You're not dyslexic, are you?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
See, that
I do have
everything.
Yes.
Okay. You see numbers backwards?
I see everything backwards.
I see everything. We've been telling you that, Tracy, for a long time.
Your politics there.
No.
Whoa. Don't go there. Oh. I shouldn't have gone there, huh?
That's the Medi. See there? You're a little bleeding liberal.
Now, Howard, isn't this more fun than chemistry?
Well, I have to say it is, to tell you the truth. We're still looking for, you know, the first real book of chemical humor, you know, to come out. There's one in the library, at Mogg Library.
You know,
it's about 3 pages long.
I wish I had you in chemistry. I think I may have enjoyed it a little bit better.
Well, you really have to work, though.
Well, work is okay. I'm not afraid of hard work if you explain it to me.
I couldn't do chemistry. And the poor man who taught me chemistry really... This was back in the day, back in 1968 and 69, when I was taking it up at Youngstown. And this
who was this?
He could not speak. It took me a year to figure out what he was saying was ferrous ion.
Now, are you trying to tell me that Dr. Medi wasn't teaching when you were in school?
No, he wasn't teaching when I was in school.
I came in 68.
I don't want to say this. I don't know if he's still kicking up there. So
well... We have some historical figures in our department that that came from other countries.
Yeah,
and
this guy came, and he was a nice, nice man.
Yeah.
But he just, I mean, he's going through these chemicals, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, it doesn't make any sense. All I heard is, that was it, and I didn't know what to do.
Hey, I got a private caller calling in. Hey, private caller, how are you? Hello? You hit the button.
Is that me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm showing up as private caller? Oh, okay.
No, that's not you, but go ahead. You didn't hit the button, but one of my private callers hit the they want to talk to me button. And
oh.
I guess they don't. But go ahead, Mike.
That's their loss, sweetheart. Hey, gentlemen. I'm listening with a lot of fascination because I do remember some of this that after the Berlin Wall came down and East Germans were supposedly free and everything and there was all this wonderful freedom. They didn't know what it meant. They all had the big rallies. Yay, we're free. And then 30 days later, they wondered, where's my grocery allotment? Where's this? Where's that? And they didn't understand freedom meant you're on your own, you know? And I remember some of those things, hearing some of those stories and talking to some of the people. And I remember, and it's very similar to what I do. I've done work with Habitat for Humanity. And, of course, they're helping folks who've never owned a home, and the whole concept of home ownership is so strange to even them in our own culture that some of the chapters of Habitat told me, and then 2 years later they come walking in the office one day when none of the light bulbs in the house work anymore. They're all burned out, and they want to know where their light bulbs are. Because, again, it was foreign to own a home to them. You know, they were used to being in an apartment. So I'm just listening with a lot of interest. I'm remembering a lot about that. And I have visited communist countries years and years ago when I was younger, and yeah, Tracy, it's a different culture, and you could say freedom, and you could say words like democracy, but it just doesn't register because it's not anything they've had any exposure to. They don't know what it means, and I remember the bureaucracy of dealing with the government there. I was in Yugoslavia and places like that, and everything you had to get it approved. And then there was that, and then there was what you did afterward when you went around to the backside of the building and went in the rear door of the kitchen and got things done, you know, and it was...
Mike,
yeah.
I think it's the same thing here. When he said that people are conditioned to do a certain thing, and people are unlearned, and then people do not realize that freedom comes with responsibility.
The thing about the Russians, which amazed me, is that I don't ever think they were of that mentality. These folks were industrious; they're industrious, and they worked and they got stuff done.
Yeah,
but it was
intelligent.
They're used to the government to them was something that they had to deal with, and you took care of it, and then they went and did what they wanted to do. And everybody looked the other way as long as you were bribing the right person.
Yep.
And corruption, and those of us from Youngstown know this to be
we
true.
We don't know anything about that.
We don't.
I have a question.
Hold on, Diva. What'd you say? We know it to be true?
Hi, Diva.
Hey, Diva.
Hello.
But, Tracy, dealing with the black market.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on, Mike. Let Diva jump in. Go ahead, Diva.
Oh, okay. My question is, because someone mentioned that Russia is more capitalistic than we are. Does Russia have a hodgepodge of economies, do they just have two classes, which is rich and poor, or do they have a middle class? And if they're more capitalistic than we are, then how come the majority of that country is poor?
Mm-hmm. You want to go for that, Mark?
No, you go for it.
The middle class in Russia is growing. It is growing most rapidly in Moscow, which you would have trouble distinguishing from a lot of American cities in terms of a lot of prosperous American cities. But with the exception of Moscow, the middle class is slower growing, and it is only growing around the cities of greater than 1 million people, let's say. And this includes probably maybe 15 cities across the country, and that maybe encompasses, let's say, 75-80% of the population. And I would say also that 80% of the population lives in the European part of Russia, and only 20% is scattered over Siberia all the way out to the Sea of Japan. But there is a mixture of relatively poor people who some of them are elderly and former communists that I've seen holding rallies among themselves. And it looks like, the last dinosaurs passing into history. But they're still a little bitter that the government isn't there for them, doesn't have their backs. So I can understand where they're coming from, because they were accustomed to something like, having their apartment rents paid for, or just a very small amount. And they had a job, even if it was a make job, so to speak. And they had a way to gain an income and buy food and survive. But this was a subsistence living, and there are still people in Russia that live like that. But, most countries do have poor people, even in prosperous European countries. It's just that you don't see them, you don't hear about them very much. I don't know.
The interesting thing about Russia is when it was the Soviet Union is we understand industry here. We have competing industries. When the Soviets are running Russia, and I'm going to give you an example, they had a curtain company that made the curtains. All the curtains came from that company. They had a shoe factory. All the shoes came from that factory. We dealt with parquet flooring. We dealt with aluminum. These things were, you went to one place. That's where they made it. Or maybe one or two places in the country, and that was it. Mm-hmm. These big companies and they had steel, huge, huge mammoth steel mills that were dated using old technology. And so when the Soviet Union broke up and they had to do something, various people came in and bought these businesses such as it is in a very corrupt process. And so what they ended up with was a very few people, the oligarchs, which took control of these major industries, and a lot of them were the old communists. I mean, they just took the name off the door, and they went and decided we were getting rich on behind the scenes over here. Let's be out and put it on the front porch, and everybody can see what we're doing. And it was pretty much the same people running the same things, but in a different way. Right now, their primary industry is energy. It's an oil and gas-based economy. They have never really, and Howard, you've been there, lately. I haven't been there for a while. But my sense is that they don't have industries that's exportable. things mm-hmm. that they can export to other countries than oil and gas?
They export aluminum and titanium for some. All of their naval submarines are made of titanium, as I understand. So they have a pretty good industry there and maybe a corner on the titanium market. Maybe it's a little bit specialized, but you're right.
The reason why I had asked that question is many years listening to this show, I've heard that if we just had true capitalism, that our society would do better. The poor would move into the middle class, and the middle class would move up. So if Russia is predominantly a capitalistic country, then I'm trying to understand why that system is moving so slow for them.
I can tell you that, because capitalism, as we understand it in the United States, is formed in an area where our entire system is based around capitalism. So we have a set of laws, we're all treated, and the theory is, here's the law, we're all treated equally under the law. The government there is an honest broker to protect people who are out making their living among themselves. And a lot of the industries that we have developed in this country were developed in this country. They were the leaders. I mean, there was a lot of invention, there was a lot of entrepreneurship, and a lot of the things that most of the things that we enjoy in the world today were developed here in the United States. Russia doesn't have that.
But let me say this, Mark, and let me add, because Diva, let me say it to you this way. This is what I believe is happening and has happened to America. With capitalism, if you parallel them to the Russian paradigm and what's gone on there, when you come out of a system and you throw people into the system who are unlearned about the system, and you begin to grow, because we have a huge population who has the same mentality of those people who are impoverished in Russia. Mm-hmm. And we have not addressed it in our fair society. And if anything, we have tried to, I'm trying to stay as nonpartisan as possible, we have conditioned a society and groups of people to become underserved, underlearned, so that they still may have the menial jobs that we need for them to do in our capitalistic society. Because if everybody has an education, then it's kind of hard for you to get me to get you to come and mow my grass. And so what they've done is they've taken segments of the population and they have conditioned them to become entitlement or dependent upon just receiving a check, getting a home, and letting that be their standard of life, and killing the dream of America out of them. So that's why we have a huge inequality, because you go to work but you don't do the job. Mm-hmm. And we want to pay you more, we want to give you more so that you don't do any more. Mm-hmm. Because people who are driven and want something more, they work harder. Mm-hmm. They stay up later and they get the education that they need to deserve it. And what we do is we make people just comfortable enough to keep them where they are so that they will always be in labor.
I have to disagree with you on your assessment, because I don't think it's like Russia where you are really, really from generation to generation taught to be complacent. I think it's more
of... That's not what I said, Diva.
It's more of factors in our society where people try to get ahead, but then they're beaten down.
We have
a history in this country that has consistently put a group of people down, and because
Diva.
Of that, it's carried on generational through
Diva.
Generation. Tracy,
sweetheart, you're not going to take over the show today. What I'm saying is, look at the parallel. The difference there is you have to understand they're being generation to generation beaten down the same way.
Progressive present
to keep them stagnant. I mean, again, it's not the same, but there are similarities there if you look at it.
Could I
break please.
In there, Tracy? One of the things, Diva, that you mentioned was, or that you asked, was, you know, what's the difference in between the U.S. and Russia in terms of the growth of capitalism? Why are they so slow about it? And Mark was saying that some things about the people in our country, they had a legal structure that they could work within. We call it the rule of law. We had a judiciary, and we could enforce the law. Well, Russia is a little slow in this respect. We had 250 years to develop that, and they've had about 25 years.
And they're, you know, learning what it is to be a lawyer. When I first went over there, lawyers were, they even joked about it themselves. They were like table decorations, they call them. And, but now, as a result of some of their visitations of lawyers to our country and judges, they're developing a judiciary which is becoming more and more effective and more independent of the central political authorities in the Kremlin. So out you can make decisions in the boondocks of Magadan Peninsula or somewhere in eastern Russia, and they can develop this rule of law, because then the citizens have some place to go to arbitrate business decisions that don't go their way. And this whole learning curve, they're still doing. But they're behind. And okay, so give them a break. They're behind in other ways too, which we could go into. But I think that's part of the reason that that they're not at the level that we are today.
And the same thing can be said for China. They're going through the same process right now. So where they're trying to develop their legal system and establish rule of law. And it's difficult when the people who are running the country, whether it's Putin or whether it's the leaders over in China, you know, and in China the Communist Party is the only party and it's still in charge, nobody wants to let the power go. It's by nature. They got the power, they want to keep it. And so it's hard places right now.
My problem is not with the progress that Russia is taking with capitalism. What I have a concern is when you have people who argue for pure capitalism and no social safety net, that their argument is so loud that we're going to, and then I hear people holding Russia's capitalist system up as something to be glorified about. But when you look at it, I'm sorry, I don't want to go back. I don't want our country to go backwards. Now, I don't mind capitalism, but I don't want us to go backwards to where it's just one system, and then you don't have people who need a safety net who don't have that safety net.
And Diva, I would agree with you 100% on that. I have seen capitalism at its worst over there, and I participated in it. We ran a business there. It was the most disheartening thing, and it was very dangerous, and I got out of it when I found out that somebody that I did business with killed. Well, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, that's not a good thing. And if, you know, take capitalism to the nth degree, that's what happened, and that what was there after the fall of the Soviet Union. They wouldn't call it that, but that's what it was. People were making untold amounts of money. There weren't any rules. They were doing whatever they can to get ahead. Nobody in this country is saying we want that. We have to have a rule of law. We've developed a safety net. The debate in this country is the nature of what that should be and how you meld that into making sure that everybody has a fair playing field and that we all can try to get ahead in this world without the government coming in and punishing us for success. And that's a big difference in saying no rules, every man for himself, which is what it was over there for a number of years. And I'm not sure it's all that much different now. I'm going to guess that they're developing a culture that allows the orderly transition of property and assets. But that's a difficult road to go, and you don't do it in a short period of time. And they're going to be a while, you know, catching up. And I think it's going to take a couple generations for them to come to the conclusion that what they need to do.
So if we're looking at this and Russia has not, they haven't fixed out their own kinks and bumps, why would they want
to? They're in the process. It's a work in progress.
Why would they want to annex more people to it?
I don't think that they do. I think that's a misunderstanding that we have. I think they want to protect what their interests are. And they see their interests in not having NATO on their borders. And so the countries of Georgia and Ukraine, for example, and there are others, when we try and swing them into NATO, they feel threatened. We don't understand that. We feel like, well, we're the good guys, and we're not really going to threaten you. We're not trying to have a regime change in Moscow. We would never think about that. So, you know, try and rest easy, Vladimir. We just want to encroach up to your borders and no more. Well, I don't think they see it that way. And so that's really, I think, the source of the problem.
Well, NATO is at their borders. NATO's at their border in Estonia, Latvia,
Lithuania,
and
about Poland.
In Poland, that's scary stuff because mm-hmm. as you look at what they're doing now, what happens if they want to do the same thing in the Baltic states? And what is NATO going to do? Because if NATO does nothing, there's going to be a problem.
That would be the biggest mistake Russia could make, is going back into and reconstituting the USSR with the three Baltic nations, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, not to mention Poland itself. So Russia does not want all these headaches. They would not go into a hornet's nest unnecessarily. But on the other hand, when we are pushing the borders towards them, that's what, you know, let it be.
It's not our borders. It's a military alliance borders with 20-some-odd countries in it.
27, I think. And it used to be 15 when we promised that we wouldn't expand it.
And
then we turned around and did that.
And the countries that came in were the ones that suffered the brunt of communist totalitarianism.
And that is exactly the reason why Russia would not want to pick them up again and have this, you know, population of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia uprise. They have three revolutions on their hands simultaneously, and they're already trying to fight the caliphate in the Caucasus and the invasion of the radical Islamism, just like we are.
I don't think
they don't need all that.
Looking at European history, I mean, I hope you're right, but I don't buy it. I think you have to be tough.
Well,
how tough?
Putin is being tough.
We have to be tough.
Why do we have to be tough?
Because
we're not tough.
Because every time you let them do something like this, okay, first of all, there was a treaty. Ukraine was the third largest nuclear power when it gained its independence from the Soviet Union, and there was a treaty between Ukraine and the Soviet Union that they would send the nukes back to Russia if they respected their territorial integrity. Mm-hmm. Well, so much for that. So how do you – Russia is subject to all sorts of treaties. They have historically broken treaties over the years.
So have we.
And Obama stepped back from the nuclear shield, which would have actually helped Russia.
I don't think so.
I think it would have. We have a common enemy. The Russians have the same enemy that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese have the same enemy that we have.
So let's work together.
Yeah, good luck with that. Tell it to the Russians in Syria and in Iran now.
Well,
long before this invasion.
As difficult as, that's right, the radar shield. But that's right, Mark. But it seems to me that when we are fanning the flames of revolution in these colored revolutions, like the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, the Purple Revolution, I think, in the Czech Republic, which ended up, you know, the Czechoslovakia divided. When we split off without UN approval Kosovo from Serbia, and that was only like maybe in the 90s, so say 15 years ago, NATO figured prominently in that. And the Russians looked at that as some kind of violation of international law, which we are accusing them of doing now.
Those countries were artificially formed countries,
and so is Ukraine.
And, you know, you can't have the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And
Slovenia,
and then you get into Yugoslavia, and you're dealing with Serbia and all of that mess over there. These were forced countries at the end of World War I that were forced together, that didn't belong together. And, you know, one of the things that the Muslims, you know, don't understand is that when we were there in Sarajevo, we were fighting to defend the Muslims and their right for self-determination there. But, you know, that doesn't count. I'm tired of the United States being the bad guy. The United States stepped in and saved the world twice at the cost of hundreds of millions of dollars and millions of American lives. And we don't want to do that again.
We'll be right back.
And friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
coming in the morning.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. Still clear what caused last weekend's big mudslide in Washington State, but one theory has been ruled out.
Local officials here have been saying a small earthquake may have triggered the mudslide, but today the U.S. Geological Survey says no, despite local claims there was no earthquake that could have triggered it. But the power of the mudslide was so great, the ground shook locally for an hour afterwards, according to seismic readings.
ABC's Alex Stone at the scene north of Seattle. The confirmed death toll is now 25, but it's almost certain to rise. New Census Bureau numbers show a change in population trends. More people moving to U.S. cities, away from rural areas and exurbs. The number of Americans claiming new unemployment benefits fell again last week. The Labor Department says the four-week average for claims is down to its lowest in 6 months, a sign of improvement for jobs. Multiple arrests in Los Angeles after reports of thefts from passengers' checked bags at LAX. More from ABC's Ryan Owens.
Airport police went undercover for more than a month, posing as baggage handlers here at LAX to try to infiltrate this ring that they allegedly say has been operating. They started doing this based on complaints from people who said, hey, we're missing things like iPads, computers, clothes, jewelry, you name it, out of our checked luggage.
Those thefts were reported from terminals and planes at LAX. The Senate's expected to approve sanctions against Russia and aid for Ukraine. Democratic Majority Leader Harry Reid today says the bill is a reality check for Russia's president and his top supporters.
For those Russian leaders who have played a role in the destabilization of Ukraine, this legislation contains much-needed repercussions.
The IMF is lending the new Ukrainian government money. This is ABC News.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Many cities are looking to either restrict or ban plastic shopping bags. Dallas is the latest example. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
The problem is this. The lowly single-use plastic bag, once used, says Dallas City Councilman Dwayne Carraway, they end up in streets and streams.
Bags are everywhere in this city of Dallas, and here's the proof right here.
He said, holding up his cell phone containing pictures taken around town. Carraway pushed for a total ban. The council approved a 5-cent fee for the bags. Retailers are asking for an opinion from the Texas Attorney General. They think the new ordinance might be illegal. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Topeka, Kansas has a pretty sweet deal thanks to America's love affair with chocolate. Mars is throwing a big opening today for a brand new candy plant in Kansas. With hundreds of new jobs, the site will produce millions of chocolate bars and other sweets every day. This is ABC News.
The most important car in the world is yours. That relationship isn't important because you love gas stations, oil changes, and car payments. Nope, you love all the other things your car drives you to. You call it life. Safe Auto gets it. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO, 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, it's not too late to get a great auto show deal on a new Ford Focus. Get a new Focus with up to $3,000 cash back. Hurry in now to your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer for auto show specials before they're gone.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Tavarnish! Ka kalinka maya. Linjanta linka malinka maya. Ka kalinka kalinka maya.
Where'd you get this? This is good.
Is this the group from Pittsburgh, from Duquesne University? What do they call that group, Mark?
I don't know who they are.
I got a videotape.
It's the Russian Army. Choir.
Oh, it's the Russian Army.
Locally, I used to use Libby and the Tambritsins.
The Tambritsins. The Tambritsins. That's the name. That's the name. From Duquesne.
Yeah, the Tambritsins.
Yeah.
Do you know what they're saying?
It's about a girl.
Yeah, it's
about
like
a
Cinderella story, I think.
Yeah, so it's about a girl.
It's great. The music, really.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm Tracy Winbush in studio. I have Dr. Howard Meddy, and I have Attorney Mark Manji. And I want to thank Flambeau for bringing me lunch today from the Caribbean Takeout. Their phone number is 330-782-6900. And they are open from Monday through Saturday from 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sundays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you wanted to stop by their restaurant is located at 3920 Hillman Way in Youngstown. It's behind, if you're going up Market Street in Midlothian, it's behind the First Place Bank.
That's not
old,
First Place anymore.
I don't know.
Talmer.
Talmer, the weird name bank now.
Yeah.
Who names a bank Talmer?
I don't know.
Who
they ought to do some. They ought to call them up and do some advertising on your program, Tracy.
Okay,
nobody knows who the heck they are.
So I won't talk about them then. Talmer, good bank. First place bank, good bank. And home savings and loan, great bank. Private caller, your mic is on. Hello? Okay, you're off. Diva, Mike, and Eric, your mics are on. And I'm holding Dr. Meddy hostage.
You bribed him with the curried goat.
Absolutely. And he actually is... He's a professor at Youngstown State University in chemistry, but he has a passion in Russian and Russia and Russian history. He goes over there every year, don't you? Almost.
Hey, it seems to work out that way, you know.
I told you I want to go hang out with you one day, and I want to go.
We can do that.
I want to do that. I want to go to Russia with Howard.
I'm getting the urge to go back now. You know, I've got to go back there and see how the story turned out.
Well, it's still unfolding.
I want to go.
You may not live that long, Mark.
I think I'll blend in over there.
You know, it's a really fascinating country with history. When you go into where the Russian Revolution was and look at that stuff, I mean, it's just breathtaking. You think the history that took place there
I think I'm going to say this before we get back into the conversation. I really think we ought to do a day of countries in the Mahoning Valley. We are a melting pot here. And as I travel in and out of circles, whether it be the Saxons, whether it be the Hungarians and the Romanians, we have people from the Ukraine here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a melting pot of people, and they all have a cultural point.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at their dress and some of their wares and some of their history and how they teach the transitioning of it, it's really, really amazing. And the food is really good.
We have an organization called the Ohio Cultural Alliance, which is led by a retired chairman of the history department at YSU.
Wonderful organization. Great
and
organization.
And it's about, they have like over 300 members. They re-enroll every year, and they celebrate the cultural traditions of many of the cultures that are represented in Mahoning Valley.
Why don't they invite me?
Well, I'm inviting you, okay?
I never knew about this.
Well,
I've been here almost 25 years.
They meet the first Monday night of every month in the except for the summer. I don't think they meet in the summer.
I don't know.
From Labor Day to Memorial Day.
Hey, Doc, I don't need another
meeting.
So it's
about maybe 10, 15, 11 times
I'm trying to hold on to my Rotary member.
Nine times a year, let's say. But, you know, yeah, okay, well, it just comes sometimes.
But I'd love to because, I mean, I just think it's important. I think it's important that people learn other people's cultures, where they come from.
And the Polish Heritage Society, who bought the
Krakowski Hall?
No. They're in Briar Hill. They bought
A pizza shop?
No, they bought a church. The church was donated to them, and they do a good job also of bringing different. They call it the Polish here, but it is they do a broad band of ethnic diversity and cultural backgrounds here, programs here on a regular basis, and that's
mm-hmm.
terrific.
Mm-hmm.
They used to go up to Kravitz Delicatessen. They would have programs up there on Saturday morning.
He's internationalized that.
Yeah, I know he
Kravitz?
Is.
Kravitz?
Well, the only,
yeah, Joe
the only
Kravitz.
Place
yeah,
in the world
really
where you go to
impressive.
A Jewish deli to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, exactly. That happened this year. That's right.
They got great. Listen, if you can't get to Cleveland, they got the best corned beef.
Oh, their
in town.
Corned beef is outstanding,
yeah.
But that's
that's a free plug, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, I gotta cut that out. Jeez, old man,
cut that out.
I gotta cut that out.
The nice lady brought us this wonderful
flambeau. Is that Caribbean takeout? Good food.
Wow.
But if you want corned beef, great food down there at Kravitz. And actually, if you're in Poland, you can always go to the Poland Library.
Yeah, it's not
right
same.
Downstairs.
Not
it is not the same. You got to go into the building and see that it's just there, home.
I'm hungry.
I have Dr. Betty, I'm going to let you go work, but it's going to take a minute.
Okay.
Will America, everybody thinks that Russia is going to create a cause and going to align with the Arab Springs. It's all about oil and gas. And that they are going to partner with them so that they can actually overthrow the power of the United States. That's pretty much, in a nutshell, what a lot of people believe.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I can see where that's coming from. But right now, I think it's an unrealistic fear. The U.S. right now is the number one producing country for natural gas in the whole world, right now, just natural gas. And this is just one country. So we're not without, you know, sources here. I know there is competition for the oil and natural gas, I think natural gas deposits off of Crimea. So that plays into this Ukrainian situation in a background way that has not really been discussed. But I think that the plurality of interests that would be represented by Russia and all the oil-producing Arab states lining up against some sort of American, possibly Brazilian and, you know, Chinese kind of counterweight economically or energy-wise, I just think... To me, that doesn't make sense. It would be very difficult to justify interfering with other countries' affairs based on this paranoid vision of the future.
But we do that.
Well, we do do that.
And we are paranoid.
And so are they.
And I'll give you, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. You know, you look at what they've done in Iran, you look at what they've done in Syria, and I'm surprised at it because they have the same, if any other country has a terrorist issue outside of us, it's Russia. Because they've had their own dealings with terrorism in Russia from the radical Islamists that live there. And there's a lot of them. Their southern borders proliferated with radical Islam territories. And I don't understand why they're taking the adverse issues over in the Mideast. And I don't understand it because people are dying over there.
Well, first of all, we had an ally in the war against radical Islam in Russia. President Putin was the first world leader to telephone George Bush after the World Trade Center disaster in September 11th. They sent a memorial to our country, which is most Americans don't even know about. It's in a Bayonne wharf off the coast of New Jersey that overlooks the Hudson River to the World Trade Center. And it's a stainless steel tear, T-E-A-R, from somebody's eye in a large sort of stone frame. And underneath it are all the names of the 3,000 people that whose lives were lost in that tragedy. And this was a gift from the Russian people to Americans. And I don't even think they even know about it in New York. They're right across the river.
Right.
So, I mean, we had Russia trying to moderate the situation in Syria. Sure, they were allied with some guy, the crazy maniac that's the president of that country. They had interest, historically, business interest with him. But I think that they resented Americans' interference with Libya, the no-fly zone that turned into a bomb out of Gaddafi. We are forcing regime change in places right near Russia that they take a little umbrage at right now. And when they were helpless at the end of the Cold War, they couldn't do anything about it. Now I think they feel like America, back off. It's not that we want to take over these countries. It's just that we don't want you taking over those countries, and that's the real juxtaposition of the arguments on both sides.
But let me ask this. But Russia, I mean, look at what I mean. We're fighting. You said we don't. Let me say this: we're fighting a war on ignorance and uneducation. What you've just said about what's going on in Russia, what's happening there, you know, him calling George W. Bush, them sending a memorial, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Why is it that no one knows about it? We got the information superhighway. We're on Facebook, Twitter. We got more social media. We got more TV news outlets than the world. But most stuff that you need to know about anything, we don't know anything about.
That is a real problem, Tracy, and I can't answer that exactly.
But you're a teacher.
But I feel that there are forces in our country that do not want us to know that. They don't. For example, another example might be the roll up to the Sochi Olympics. We had nothing kind to say about this. The $50 billion investment that Russia made in the Sochi Olympics, we thought was, oh, they'll never be able to stop terrorism, which they actually ended up doing. The water was yellow. The toilets didn't work. And we had nothing kind to say about it. And our political leaders wouldn't send their families to Sochi.
That's correct.
We did everything we could to undermine those games. I think the athletes, once it got going and the athletes, and we watched it, they were pretty successful Olympics. And some of the staging effects were very original and tried to portray the Russian historical story that we've been talking about this morning. And so I think they're making attempts to, let's say, resuscitate themselves or revitalize themselves and, you know, be a real country. and collaborate with other countries, and they can be helpful to us. I think the space programs. Just last week, I heard that there's a space satellite that's going, not a satellite, a mission with a Russian and an American and a Japanese cosmonaut going up.
I think they just got launched.
It may just happened. Yeah. But my point is that we can work together, and we have to work together with these countries. We are a member of the same community that Russia is a member of. When you go to Houston, you can find a statue of Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space who happened to be a Russian. And the Russians think of him as a major hero, and so does the American space program. Let's look at the positive side. Go ahead.
Here's the number one rule in foreign policy. There is no vacuum in foreign policy. And as Obama is retreating, Putin is expanding. And we talked a little bit before we started off the air this morning. I think that this is deliberate. I think it's being deliberately done, and this is part certainly in line with Obama's ideology and his core beliefs. And the problem that you have with this is that a strong American defense against people who historically have not been friendly to us. Gives us many options to respond. As we retreat and they expand, our options to respond shrink. And we don't want to be in a position where we're forced to do something that we really don't want to do.
Hey, Jeff, your mic is on.
Thank you, Mark. And I was going to say, what are we worried about that regional power for? Their influence is only regional, even though they're the hugest continent other than Africa on the face of the earth, and even though they have the largest oil producing country in the world, even though they have the quarter of the market on diamonds and rubies in the world as well, precious stones. And so we're sitting up here playing a stupid game, and that's exactly right, Mark, what you were saying, because look at it. Here we are. We gave third world control, fourth world control of Libya, tried to get Syria, and these other nations that fell to the so-called Muslims, Arab Spring, and they want freedom. They want freedom. No, you gave them over to a radical people that these people have been fighting to the death. And no, the people in this country don't want you to know that Russia had some type of a goodwill gesture toward George W. Bush, but you let them have a goodwill gesture toward Barack Obama, and you'll see it spread out over every paper, every news outlet, et cetera, in the country. This is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a group of people in this country that are just as acting just as naive as the president seems to be acting. And I say seems to be because I really think he wants to destroy America's system. And so that's of course my view and my view all the time. But here it is. What are you going to do now that you have this situation where, no, your news media didn't give Russia kudos for pulling it off in Sochi without an incident? They didn't give them kudos. They didn't make sure that they mentioned that the water was yellow and this, that, and the other. It's not the United States you're dealing with. But, of course, the water was yellow anyway, and, they're nothing. And then you have the president refer to Russia as a regional power. Come on. Whose side do we think he's on, et cetera, et cetera? And why do you think he's doing this? And the good doctor, I'd like to ask that question.
Doctor, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's you, doctor.
Well, you covered a lot of territory. What's your name again?
Jeff.
That's Jeff.
Jeff,
you covered a lot of territory in that answer.
Yes, I did.
It became a question. Could you focus just on that question so I could
the president refer to them as a regional power? when this is really who they are in the world, they are neck and neck with number one, if not ahead of us now, okay, with being the greatest power and the most powerful nations on earth. They certainly have the firepower to do it. They might not have the men to do it, but they have the firepower to do it.
Okay. So you're asking me why Obama refers to Russia as a regional power. I think every country in the world is a regional power compared to the United States. We spend, in our military budget, 10 times the total amount spent by other countries collectively every year. So this gives us a pretty big stick. And it also, I think, gives us the psychological, perspective that we can sort of make suggestions to the world about how they should run and, in different respects and, break apart the country of Sudan and make southern Sudan. That happened fairly recently. We did not intervene in Rwanda. So we have a great freedom. We enjoy a great freedom of action when we choose to exercise it. And when the movie stars get us all hyped up about something, then we can, maybe move in that direction. But we haven't been real successful in solving the Palestinian-Israeli problem. And we're now headed towards another Cold War because we've pushed Russia to the point where they've finally reacted. And part of our strategy in dealing with Russia is to refer to them as just a regional power. They have no, in other words, they don't have any rights in Ukraine. And the plebiscite that they conducted in Crimea is illegitimate, even though the Ukrainian government that is there now was never elected, and the legitimately elected president of Ukraine, who now finds himself in Russia, who was going to stand for re-election, by the way, in December of this year. If we could have waited 6 months before provoking, the revolution or aiding the revolution, then perhaps they could have had a change in power in Ukraine that would have been a little bit more peaceful than what the present situation might degenerate to. And let's hope that cooler heads prevail.
You've got to explain to me how we provoked the revolution.
Well, one of the things that we have a National Endowment for Democracy. We have non-governmental organizations that help the dissidents in Ukraine. These are the right-wing people that want to see Ukraine's integrity maintained. And some of these people in Maidan Plaza were found with $100 bills in their back pocket. And so it seems odd to me that some of the demonstrators have American currency when they could have actually changed their currency and put it into hryvnias, the Ukrainian currency, but they didn't even do that. So we are influencing this, Mark. Our hands are not clean.
I don't buy it, Howard. I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't either. And the reason why he did not wait 6 months to do anything is because he's not playing this card anymore. He's being flexible after his re-election. And see, the progressives have lock, stock, and barreled this guy to the place where, he believes his own height in what he's doing, but he's destroying the sovereignty of America. Excuse me, one last thing. While you have a Russian-backed, if they're so regional, a Russian-backed Iranian ship off in international waters off your Gulf Coast, and while you have a Russian spying ship docked in Cuba, et cetera, et cetera. No, they're not regional whatsoever. And this is crazy to mm-hmm. think that they're regional, and to say that they're regional, that's not going to help you, especially when you're losing the freaking battle.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Hey,
maybe you should be telling somebody in Washington that.
Well, so go ahead. I'm saying that to those that first of all, I perceived that there was a support for what this man was doing, so I apologize. But you know, because when you said that they are a regional power, I'm saying I don't buy that. It's not this China, you know, because China is building their shipbuilding to the hilt, and we're sitting up there not realizing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Tracy, the thing through history that I look at, you know, in particular, there was an event in history that happened before I was born, before you were born, and it happened at the UN, September 29th, 1959, and there's videos of it out there. I couldn't find a video, but it's of Nikita Khrushchev. He took his shoe off and he banged it on a podium, and he had this to say: "Says your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find that you already have communism. We won't have to fight you. We'll so weaken your economy until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands." Nikita Khrushchev, 1959.
Yep, I've read
that
too.
And that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm seeing. And that's what I remember
too,
in my head. And that's what I keep in my head, in the back of my head, even though the Soviet Union is disbanded. You know, that's what I see, and that's the impression that I get with actions like this.
Yeah, well,
you know,
a lot of people, it
is a worldwide progressive movement now.
I think a lot of people confuse Russia with the Soviet Union. And I also was alive. I was in college when Khrushchev gave that speech, and he was banging the table with his shoe, and President Kennedy came in the next year. It was more of a time of hope, and we looked at Khrushchev, I think, as just kind of a polemic. This was a rhetorical device that and he was hyping up communism in the same way that Nixon was hyping up capitalism when they had that debate over in the cornfields of Iowa, and it was maybe the summer of 59 or 58, somewhere in there. So that was part of the rhetorical exercise at the time, and I do think it might be a mistake to base our foreign policy on his words, you know, today.
But let me ask this. I've been quiet all day long. I've been doing good. But now my question is, just because you're no longer there, doesn't mean the mindset of what was said there mm-hmm. is still not there. Because remember, KGB was very, very instrumental in Russia. Putin is mm-hmm. a product of the KGB and of that mindset. Mm-hmm. So does his philosophy still feel as though this is what he wants? Because if you look at America, we are morphing into something that we're not intended to become.
Well, I could remind you that one of our presidents, also a member, was actually president or leader, head of the CIA, and that was George W. Walker Bush.
Absolutely.
Herbert Walker.
That's what I'm saying.
So, you know, to say that we have the mentality of the CIA is not to say that we do have it or we don't have it. The CIA is a very important part of our national security apparatus.
So they say.
And I think, you know, it is. I think it's the truth. But I also think that we have a civilian-controlled, at least partly civilian-controlled establishment in Washington.
We do?
I think it's not necessarily – I think it's controlled by maybe the top 1% of the lobbyists.
So we no longer have that.
So –
because America's no – I mean, really, if you look what's going on – I mean, Howard, I love you. But America's really – it's really not a representative government anymore. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, the people who are the citizens of the We the People, they don't even know what that phrase means. Mm-hmm. And we have people making decisions on our behalf, and we don't even know how to steer the ship.
Well, we don't steer the ship. The leaders steer the ship.
But that's my point. But they're supposed to steer
the
ship.
Do a little kabuki theater, as Joe Biden calls it, you know, to try and get the people on our side and educate.
But they don't.
Well,
because if they did what was best for us, they wouldn't make decisions based upon partisan politics.
Well, I don't think we would have gone into Iraq, for example.
Well, we wouldn't have done that. If Jim Trafficking had been in Congress, America would look different today.
Well,
we need to get him back.
Oh, boy, Tracy.
Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
Really? Mark, do you want to respond to that, please?
I think Jim Trafficking had a lot more smarts than people give him credit for. I think that we would not be in the fix we are right now if he were still in Congress.
I believe that.
I truly believe that.
Because of who he was and what he stood for. And he knew how to turn the wheels of power, and he would have been very, very powerful in Congress today had he still been there.
Oh, boy, you guys are crazy.
Look at the people that are there now.
Here. Well, I'm not trying to make apologies for that either, because they're elected at the behest of the lobbyists and the powerful corporations that really run.
Are they really there?
They control the I think what happens in Washington.
So who controls Tim Ryan?
Think
Pelosi.
Ryan is part of this exactly yet. He's working his way into it.
He's not even close.
Well, okay, but a lot of the representatives that we have they still are accountable to the people, much more so than the senators. His constituency here in the Valley, he's done a lot of work for YSU, for the companies in the Valley, for. I think Tim Ryan is a very good representative, and he's serving the interests of the people in the Valley that elected him. I think this is the way democracy
until,
is supposed
until,
to work.
Until but, it comes to a global agenda, and
well,
then he changes his shit.
Well,
but go ahead.
Okay,
I'll leave you alone.
The foreign affairs of our country are ruled by different masters. These are the people that have longer terms in Congress. They're not so accountable to their local constituencies. They're more accountable in the Senate and in the foreign policy establishment, the State Department, the other really influential departments that advise the president. It's a little bit out of balance right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's out
and
of balance.
I agree with that, and I'm not trying to take issue with it. But I'm saying that that. It's still a shared responsibility. It's still a divided. It's a multiplicative. It's a control device which has many parts to it, and some of those parts are accountable to the people, maybe fewer and fewer, and more are accountable to the moneyed corporations and the vested interests in our foreign policy, which are usually stem from economic, like the big oil companies, the big resource companies.
We'll bring you back for that.
Anyway,
one.
I gotta go do a test.
Go do a test.
Right.
Is this the fair and balanced part of the program? Are we like Fox News here?
Listen, Dr. Meddy, I love you.
Thank you, Tracy.
I do. I really appreciate you
great girl
so
yourself.
Much.
You're amazing to me that you can even do what you're doing right now.
And today has been a very, very good show. It's brought up a lot of issue about stuff that's really not just talked about in mainstream, and people have
and
no
people
clue.
People need to know.
And people need to know some things. They need to have some understanding so that when they know to go research,
mm-hmm.
they know how to research a couple of words.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a void. They the stuff on TV and go, huh?
Yeah.
Who
well, I would tell them to Google Putin's speech to the Russian parliament after the election the plebiscite in Crimea. And if you want the Russian point of view, that's all you got to do. Putin
and tomorrow,
speech.
Actually tomorrow, I'm going to try to play his speech as well as President Obama's response to his speech.
Good.
And then let Jeff go crazy.
Well,
because it's coming to a place near you.
Well, listen, Tracy, thank
thanks
you
a lot, Doc. I'm
going to
take a break.
You're inviting me. Okay.
Oh, you're always welcome. You know that.
Well, I appreciate it, really.
And when we come back, when you come back again, we'll talk about how liberal and we're going to convert you to becoming a conservative. You know that, right?
Well, I have a conservative streak in me, but thankfully it doesn't dominate my personality.
You're going to become a conservative Christian.
He can answer the question. Why did the Russian word for hello was "slavuchya"? Any language that's the Russian that says "slavuchya" for hello, that's too many syllables.
Hey, listen, I'll be right back.
Привет.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. but Turning Point Counseling. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes.
Who's out there? Diva back out there?
I don't know if I'm unmuted or not, but what's going on here?
Yeah, I'm out here.
What's up, I mean?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I just from Intel, I don't trust the Russians. I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
You have no reason to, I'll tell you that.
I'm trying to figure out where the doctor stands. Is he looking at Putin and Russia as good?
Yes. That's why they brought him on today to be the yin and yang with Mark, who's conservative, and then you got the doctor who's liberal because he's a college professor.
Yep, exactly.
And he considers himself an expert on Russia and Russian point of view.
I mean, I get all that, but I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, I can see the
Russians. He's in love with their system. He's in love with their system. He's the one. You know, he's in love with their system. Russian people are very hardy, and they're survivors. And he's right. They're like Gumby. They can mold themselves into whatever they need so they can work within whatever system you hand them today, because the systems are that erratic. You know, one day something's okay, the next day it's not. That's how that kind of government works. You and I got ready. We at least knew Obamacare was coming for a few years, and there's those who like it and those who don't, but we saw it coming. We didn't wake up one morning and find out it was the law of the land until we read it in the newspaper. You know?
And I don't agree with something he said about the military either. I don't care. He's building his army up.
Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. And his army hasn't been in. He's losing. It's going on one generation ago since his army was in real combat. You can't go with a modern military where you have a generational gap between, that would be like us right now. If we went into a war and the only people we had who'd ever seen action were the guys from World War II who were in their 90s. We'd have
exactly.
Nobody training people. You need it's unfortunate, but to keep your military alert and constantly ready, you can't lose the teachers.
Yeah, we sequestered our teachers and wouldn't even let them visit memorials, remember?
Exactly, and that's why this troop reduction that our president is planning is so dangerous. It's more. I'm all for saving money, but it's the wrong place to do it. I don't care if our military never goes into another war.
We're back with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
A day without happy is not a day that is not the same. So you have to get your fix. Yes, Mark.
Can they sing it in Russian?
I doubt it. It would have too many syllables, and so it would not be able to actually. They wouldn't be able to do that. I don't care either the way. You got to be able to, you know, toe tapper. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Well, my. Wow, he didn't know.
He didn't know.
So we drug him through the mud, we killed him and knocked him over the head.
And he didn't know.
And the report shows he did not know.
He did not know.
Wow. Governor Christie, the report shows from USA Today that Governor Christie, Chris Christie,
my guy.
You know, the crazy guy out of New Jersey, the governor who's like a...
Who's lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
He got a lap band.
Yeah.
And listen, dealing with American politics, it's a wonder he didn't lose 150 pounds. It says, the report shows Governor Christie did not know anything about the bridge, the scheme, and people getting stuck on the George Washington Bridge for hours at a time. He had nothing to do with it. Wow.
It's still a trick, though. I'm from Youngstown. I like these stories. That's how you
end. But, you know, that's how we roll.
You think we could do the same thing with the Market Street Bridge?
No.
Oh, okay.
You have to do it with 680.
There we go. We'll do it with the 680.
Just
you know, they do it all the time with the 7-Eleven connector. That thing's never open.
It's open.
Yeah.
You just slide off of it when you go across it. Eric, what are you saying? Is that South Carolina or Eric?
That's South Carolina. Give you a little fodder for tomorrow. Check out the Charlotte mayor.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, listen, I got to. Well, you're going to come on tomorrow and talk about that for a little while?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I got some questions about what happened when. I don't understand. I'm so confused what happens when we finally make it that we just get stupid. Eric, wanted to say something. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Mark, thank you for a great dialogue with Dr. Mehdi.
Oh, that was fun.
I couldn't have done that for love nor money because the only thing I know about Russia is there was a movie. I know about the, you know, Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan telling them to knock the wall down. I know about some of the things, the big topics that go along with it. I know they own our satellite stations now, so we're no longer in a race to the moon with Russia. Now they got to take us on their own boat.
One of these days I'll tell you the story about my encounter with the Russian mafia. These were really bad guys and how they got the debt paid off. It's illegal, but it has been one of the most interesting episodes of my life, and these are scary dudes. I mean, they're tough people.
Well, I watched that in a movie.
A friend of mine
making a noise.
Mine's father, Mark, died. And when she went to work on his estate, he worked for the Social Security Department in the United States. He had only been retired 1 year, and he died. When he went to work, she went to work on his estate, found out that he was married to some 25-year-old Russian girl who had hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt against the house so that she could buy stolen cars in the United States and transport them out of the country to her boyfriend in Russia.
They kidnap people like there's no tomorrow.
This is just last year we found this out. Holy smokes, you know. I figured out, what the heck is this attractive girl doing with this old geezer? Well, we found out.
Listen, I was at a hotel in St. Petersburg, and again, the communists were still there. We were there, and we were taken on a ride in a Cadillac through St. Petersburg where there were no Cadillacs in Russia. And we went to the hotel that was on the Baltic Sea, and I walked in there, and I've never seen so many hookers and prostitutes in one place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
Should have been to D.C., huh?
And they all had cell phones, and nobody had cell phones back then, and they were all doing business. Interesting people.
Yeah, and then there's those services here in the United States that take these guys who couldn't get a date for love or money, who've got more money than common sense, and they go over there to meet girls at these prearranged parties and stuff, and a lot of them come back and, find themselves married or otherwise involved with a girl that all of a sudden a year or two later, she's figured out enough of the American system how to divorce and get community property. To Kathy or Mark.
I have a question for you guys. How do you turn an $80,000 a year salary into $50 million?
Very carefully.
Does anybody have an answer to that?
I got to find that person. Can I marry him?
No. You can't in Russia, but you can in America in some states, but you can't in Russia.
Okay.
It tells me that Vladimir Putin, he reports about $150,000 in his savings and an income about $80,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
But his net worth is over $50 billion. Can you please explain that to me?
He steals it.
Well, then.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like he steal it.
He has a job like the Pope. He has a $120 a month stipend, and he's worth billions. I guess. I don't know.
Now, I'm like...
huh?
It's that way all over. These people just take money.
He's like Tony Soprano. He's in the garbage business.
Yeah. Sanitation, refuse collection.
I'm just trying to figure some things out because it seems like some people do that better than other people. And I'm just trying to do how you turn, because if you can turn $80,000 into $50 billion, I should be able to turn a dollar into like a million.
It's very simple. You want to be the head of this gas company over here, you give me 20% or 30%. And I'm going to guess with Putin it's 50 or 60%.
Right.
I got about 10 minutes before the day is done, and I want to thank everybody for listening in today. I want to thank Dr. Mehdi for taking time out of his busy schedule to come in and hang out with me. He is quite a remarkable man. To know him is to love him, even though he's my wacky liberal friend. And then Mark Manzi for bantering with him. And so if you have children and they're taking chemistry down at Youngstown State University, they really ought to take his course. They'd be surprised how much they'll learn from him, and he's endeared by most of his students. But I want to throw this into the Harry Reid. I know, you know, Obamacare, the filing deadline is coming up. Mm-hmm. And Harry Reid has come up with an excuse why Obamacare is not working. And the excuse is a lot of people do not know how to use the Internet.
That's what he said. We have to make an accommodation because people who are on Medicare don't know how to use the Internet.
Is that the same
you
people
know
who don't know how to get
degrading,
a... Yeah, is that,
how
that's
degrading,
the same
how demeaning and racist that is?
Yeah.
Well, see, this is my issue, and I need to get some help here.
They need a picture ID. That's why they can't use.
No. Listen, this is what I want to say to you guys. This is what I don't understand. If you want people to get on board, if you want people to become a part of something, and you have something called the United States Mail Service, you know that those things that come every day.
Yep.
The guy comes in a little blue suit across the country.
Yep.
And you own the mail service, and you get all kinds of junk mail in it. Why don't you get an official letter from the United States government to all persons who are citizens that are adults, 18 and older, or as a matter of fact, even households, if you don't want to waste too much money because you don't own, you don't want to give any money to the government, and mail out a list of where you can go, how you can go, how you can apply, where to apply, because everybody was not on the Internet, and they knew that walking out the gate. So why? They had stations at the end of the game, so for people to walk into. They didn't tell you that you could go to private agencies and get signed up. They didn't tell you that you could go to community centers and get signed up. They didn't set up church places for you to get signed up. Why did they not mail things to people for them to sign up so that now they're going to get penalized on their taxes?
Here's the problem.
Okay.
The people that have signed up aren't the people who they wanted to sign up. The people who have signed up are the ones who lost they took them off of one health care plan and they put them on another health care plan.
Correct.
The people who they wanted to get signed up
were young people.
And
in college.
I'm talking about the people
with smartphones.
They have not signed up. The same group of people that was uninsured before is uninsured now. All they did was force people who had one policy onto another policy.
So
that's all they've done.
So my question is,
they made it web-based. Well, they made it web-based because they figured they were hearing toward young kids, and they're all on their smartphones and their iPads all day long, so that was the whole plan.
Right, and they should have sent out a text message with the link in it, go here if you haven't already done so. And
they
would have
that.
Had that generation.
Why didn't it just send a piece of official mail from the U.S. government saying go to www.thisplace in this state and this place in that state and get signed up now?
Because stamps now cost 49 cents and they can't afford it.
Because
but they
you
own
don't
the stamp.
Know whether or not anybody read the mail. But if they were to put it out on every cell phone as a text message, you can get a feedback that says the message has been read and delivered. And you can get that feedback as the sender, as a marketing sender. And if they would do that, they would know that you're – 22-year-old kid was told he needed to sign up.
I thought I'd bring that question up, and I'm just so confused by some of the. Maybe it's just a little bit too common sense, too logical for the world.
There will be no penalty ever paid on this, ever. It's not going to happen.
Yes, it will.
I
want to say why
so.
I think so? Because it's already paid. You're going to have that little check mark. There's an honor system.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to check it on your tax box.
Yeah, the honor system.
What a joke.
Hey,
tomorrow. Yes, Al.
Just out of curiosity, since you're talking about that, why? How can you have a system that has pays only $6 billion in benefits, but pays $27 billion in administrative and regulatory costs?
No.
That's a successful program?
Yeah. It's all in how you do the math. It's Common Core. And if you can explain it, you can. If you can explain it, you can keep that answer.
They've
and trust me, there is an explanation for everything. If anybody did not hear President Obama's speech yesterday, you know he is an executor of the speech. You got to give the man credit, whether you like what he says or not. He can execute a speech. He does it just like a Southern Baptist preacher. He just doesn't tune up.
Well, speaking of his speech, have you seen the flap he caused when he made the comment when the reporter asked him, well, hasn't Romney now been proven to be right? And Obama says, I'm still more focused on keeping a nuclear weapon from exploding in Manhattan. Donald Trump last night was tweeting and stuff, and a lot of people are going, what are you trying to do, put a target on our back? Are you challenging them because you're saying you can protect us now? What a dumb, stupid thing to say. Donald Trump said it was the absolute dumbest statement any president has ever made in the United States. It made us a target now, he said.
He also said Vladimir Putin is being weak by being aggressive. I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's not being weak based upon his aggression. You got to understand, it's all in how you shape it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something we don't discuss. But
they should. Yeah. They should have taken a playbook out of the credit card companies, how they get kids in college to sign up for credit cards, and they get their friends to sign up because they incentivize them with pizza coupons and T-shirts because that's cool.
They don't,
and
that's the point. They don't want. That's the point. They did not. You can tell by the way how they rolled this out that they don't want you involved in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the young folks.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You can tell they didn't even send an email to people. They did commercials, and they didn't even put them on Facebook. They didn't even Twitter.
It's like when you go to the DMV and get your stickers renewed. They ask you to send a piece of paper saying you have insurance. That's pretty much all they're doing. It's like,
yeah.
There's an honest. What are you going to say? No. 480, your mic is on.
That's what I'm saying.
Turn your radio off. 336, your mic is on.
All I just wanted to just call in and say is just that let us take the time to pray for our country and pray for our president because he is going through a lot of things. And let's pray for these young kids, too, who are getting duped into buying these Visa cards and all of that. But most assuredly, we're in the days now that it's no longer a game. Prayer, man, is going to change things. But if we as a people don't come together and get over this color hump and this racism and this hatred and come together and pray, the world as we once knew it is no longer going to be the same anymore. So let us come together and let us pray. And I love you all.
Well, we love you too, and I agree with you. But I will say this. The Bible says it's my people who will come together and pray and turn from their ways. And right now, we've got a kingdom that claim to be a part of God that will not come together and turn from their wicked ways and pray. And that's why we see what we see.
That's
the world,
right.
The world, I don't expect to pray. If you want to call back tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about it. But I'm done for the day. I gotta go. God bless you guys. We love you. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Don't forget to go and hit up Flambeau's for lunch today. The curry goat was good. The plantains are good. They have jerk chicken. They have rice. It's really, really good. So just go and take a look. And it's on Hillman Way. You can't miss it. It's right behind the Home Savings and First Place. What's the name of the bank now?
Talmer.
First Bank at Talmer, whatever they are. Tell them if they advertise, we'll get the name right.
It's the building that looks like a boat.
We'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless.
Hey, South, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, she said something earlier in the show, and I never got a chance to correct her on it. She was equating, she was saying, well, we have a black market in this country, and and I was just going to take her up a little bit on the subtleties. In Russia, they have a black market, but don't confuse that with our underground criminal economy in this country, because the black market is actually pervasive, and it serves a purpose over there, because it's not about selling things that are stolen. It's about providing things that the people can't get any other way without a big hassle from the government. You know? And in our underground criminal economy here, you know, if you don't want to get a gun legally, you can buy a gun. You can buy drugs. You can buy stolen merchandise. Over there, you could also buy a dozen eggs, too, on the black market, because you can't get them in the grocery store. And so their black market is far more pervasive and far more important to the average person over there. The average American doesn't go into the street to buy food in the underground.